to record for a second. This is the Bevel City Council meeting, Monday, July 27th, 2015, 7 p.m.
Call this July 27th regular Bevel City Council meeting to order. And would you all please rise for, I'm going to say a short prayer and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Father God, we are just grateful to have the opportunity to assemble, to deliberate, and to make decisions that affect the future and direction of this city. Now give us all wisdom, understanding, and a sound mind to make good decisions as we go forward. In your name we pray, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. I'd like to move to item 1.3 on our agenda is the roll call. And all city council members are present tonight. So we'll move to item 1.4, citizen input. This is the time of the regular Othello City Council meeting where any citizen has an opportunity to be recognized, come to the microphone, and have up to 5 minutes to address the city council with regard to any issue that they like. So at this time, is there anyone here present that would like to address the city council? If so, please raise your hand. And I will recognize you to come before the council. Is there anyone? Okay. Hearing none, we will move to the item number 2, approval of tonight's agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Make the motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 3 is our consent agenda. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve tonight's consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'm going to move to item 4.1, public hearing on Hampton 14th Avenue annexation request. And I would like to read this notice of public hearing. Notice is hereby given that the City Council for the City of Othello will hold a public hearing to consider an annexation request submitted by the R.A. Bud Hampton Trust. The Trust has requested that the City of Othello annex approximately 16.4 acres of property running on 14th Avenue immediately north of Highway 26. The Trust is requesting the property be zoned commercial C1 zoning upon annexation to the city. Public hearing is being held tonight at the City Council and at the City Hall. City Council will consider all public testimony as they consider taking action on the annexation request. And if you want any additional information, you can contact the city. So at this time, I would like to open the public hearing at 7:04 p.m. And we have tonight with us Travis Goddard, the Community Development Director for the city, for a staff presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you mentioned, my name is Travis Goddard. I am the Community Development Director for the City of Othello. And before I get started, I need to make one point, one correction in the notice and the agenda memo that was sent to you. The petitioner for this annexation is the R.A. Bud Hampton LLC. It is not a trust, and that is an error, but it doesn't fundamentally change the applicant or the notice standard. So I have a quick presentation for you here just to give you some idea. I apologize for the late publishing of the agenda memo, so I'll go through it really quickly, hopefully give you an idea of what we're looking at. We'd previously discussed this and scheduled the public hearing for tonight, and then we have a second one scheduled for September for the zoning. And so both of these hearings are in accordance with the RCW 3513010, which grants the authority for the city to consider annexations. It is a direct petition annexation, which means that more than 60% of the ownership requested annexation, and the zoning is allowed to be part of that annexation petition under 3513. So the annexation petition is essentially an annexation for property into the city. The requested or the proposed zoning is commercial one, and they also included a proposed dedication of a half-width right-of-way for Columbia. And the property that we are looking at is shown in this picture, and it's in the agenda memo. It is identified in yellow, that red line being the current city limits, CBHA to the north, property owned by DDM Enterprises to the west, and also another piece of Hampton-owned property to the east. Sorry, DDM is to the west. The annexation, this is the current zoning. You can see that there's commercial one to the north. They're proposing commercial one, and there's commercial one to the west. The Juajitas Elementary School is R3, and to the northeast is also the LLC property that is zoned R4. The lots that are involved in this, there's actually two original farm units, farm unit 101 and 100, and these properties are actually in three different ownerships. The north part of the subject property is owned by the Othello School District. This middle quarter is owned by CBHA, and then this is the property that we are talking about annexation here. You'll see in this next slide, this property is still in the county. This is the R4 I mentioned, R3 for Juajitas, C1, and this is an interim zoning for CBHA, and this is the property. The reason why I bring this up is because the staff report lays out that there's a concern about access to this back property. What you see before you is the vision from Gray and Osborne for the right-of-way for Columbia. It currently exists all the way up to 7th. And this is 7th here. This is the site of Guadalupe Haven, the old drive-in theater. It will take a jog around that and come in on the north alignment, which comes in. This is drawn in the 14th Avenue plans for improving this stretch of 14th Avenue. So this driveway is set for a couple reasons. I'm sorry, this intersection is set for a couple reasons. So it's very important that we clarify that this 80 foot of right-of-way is essentially the northern 80 feet of the lot that's requesting annexation. And the property I'm concerned about is this one over here. Although this is technically all part of one lot, because this portion up here is in the city and this portion is in the county, there are some quirks in the codes, both the county and the city, that says if this is developed and they have more than 20 units on that piece of property, they have to have a secondary access point, a second access. And so it is possible that they could build 20 units on this parcel and they would no longer be able to access directly the cemetery. And if this is not developed as a full street right-of-way, there is inadequate access for them to get to 14th Avenue. So I'm concerned that if we annex this piece of property without a settlement on the east-west connector, that this property, which is in the county, could eventually be landlocked with no direct access, no point of access. To look at it in a little simpler point of view, again, these blue lines are the lot lines currently. This is the envisioned right-of-way for Columbia. This is Scutney. But at this point, because this plat has not been completed, this is the driveway for the school. It is only partially completed, and it is not dedicated public right-of-way. Therefore, this lot cannot plan on the access coming through there, because if something were to happen and the school were to never finish its plat, there would be no east-west connector, which again makes this stretch of Columbia vital to the cross-circulation for this lot. So public notice has been completed in accordance with the RCWs, and you have a draft ordinance before you today. And again, the second hearing for the annexation, for the zoning of the annexation is September 14th. So, again, you might recognize this from a previous hearing. They're kind of on two separate tracks. The annexation could be decided on today, but the public hearing would be the first discussion of zoning, whether or not you want to accept their request, and then we would hold a second hearing in September to meet the standard for having a rezone request public hearing. And the recommendation of the staff is that we, the staff's recommendation is that you accept the annexation, and provided that there's some kind of access and circulation issue, which still needs to be resolved. And I believe the applicant is here to discuss that, because there have been developments.
Before that, can you go back to the aerial photograph of the division of the property? Where exactly does Columbia Street lie between the CBHA land and the Hampton annexation land?
So normally what would happen is that property line would be the center line of the right-of-way, and each development would dedicate a half-width right-of-way. But unfortunately, something happened in this case where they only bought up to the northern boundary of the right-of-way, so all of that burden fell on the property to the south, and they have been having conversations about how to equitably transfer some land or to do a dedication that benefits both parties.
So all of the future Columbia Street would lie in the Hampton annexation property?
In the current property that you are discussing.
So how much property are they giving up to develop the street?
It is approximately 1.17 acres of the 16 or 17 acres that...
What's the valuation of that acreage?
I don't know that, but the applicant might, or I'm sorry, the petitioner might be able to answer those questions.
So when you state that your recommendation is that we come to some sort of an agreement, what type of an agreement are you looking at?
Okay, so there are several ways that we could do this. We could discuss, because the Hampton LLC owns both this parcel and they own all of this parcel, they could do it a couple ways. They could dedicate a full width of right-of-way so that they have a second access here, plus this lot still technically fronts on Cemetery, so it would have its two points. They could also acquire an access easement across here. They could acquire access easement across CBHA, or they could just give themselves easements over both parcels so that if it's sold to another property or another owner for development, that those easements would be in place to ensure that continued access. But since they own the entire thing, they have a lot of options, and they just need to provide us with some kind of assurance whether that is...
Well, the landowner to the north that's already been annexed, he benefits, they benefit, CBHA benefits from that.
Yes.
Right away?
One of the things that we are working with is we would like CBHA to directly annex off of, or directly access off of Columbia. Currently, their plan shows that they would have three driveways onto 14th Avenue, and we are vehemently trying to prevent that, because the idea that we are going to rebuild 14th, we're going to have temporary driveways on it, and they would have to build those, then they would have to come in and remove them once Columbia becomes available. So now we have a brand new asset that the developer or CBHA would have to cut into and repair and patch. So we have kind of a increased maintenance and a decreased long-term.
What's the plan for development of Scutney?
So Scutney is currently developed as a driveway for the school, and they show it on the plat as a dedicated, or a right-of-way that will be dedicated to the city. But as of yet, the school district has not recorded their plat, and there's no guarantee that they're going to do it. And CBHA is working with them, because CBHA ideally would like to access Scutney and Columbia and avoid 14th Avenue interactions, which is consistent with the city's plan. But they're kind of in a hard spot, because until the school to the north does their thing, or the Columbia to the south does its thing, they really have one frontage, which is 14th Avenue.
Counsel, do you have any other questions of staff? Okay. It's time then. Thank you, Travis. I'd like to open public testimony. Those who are in favor of this proposed annexation, please raise your hand, and I will recognize you. Come and address the City Council and speak to this issue. Yes. Please state your name and address for the record, and I believe you're the attorney for the Hampton.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Steve Burnham. My address is 9006 189th Avenue Court East in Bonnie Lake, Washington. That's in Pierce County, just east of the city of Puyallup. And I'm here tonight representing the R.A. Bud Hampton LLC, and they remain in favor of their petition, and so I'm speaking in favor of the annexation. The first thing I wanted to say is that the Hampton family believes this annexation is a positive both for them as well as the city, and it provides an opportunity for Columbia Street to be dedicated and developed. And that has been one of the concerns of staff. Part of that concern is that we had only agreed to dedicate half of that right away in our petition. The reason, some background on that was the original sale to the Columbia Basin Health Association's the property that they're developing. That sale, they thought they anticipated the right-of-way dedications, and that the alignment turned out to be a little bit different, I guess, than what they anticipated. And so the right-of-way is not being developed on the current Columbia Basin property, and it needs to be developed on the north 80 feet of the Hampton property. As mentioned by staff, Travis Goddard mentioned that the usual process when properties are coming in under different ownership is that the right-of-way is each dedicates half, and that's a reasonable way, and obviously, just in a common sense manner, that's reasonable. And so that was why the Hamptons were reluctant to make a commitment to 80 feet when they, that's an unusual way to bring in a right-of-way and make one property owner dedicate all of it when there's multiple benefits from it. So we've continued to work with the Columbia Basin Group, and I can tell you that we have an agreement in principle regarding the full dedication, and that the Hamptons are committed now to dedicating that full 80 feet of right-of-way necessary to develop the Columbia Street right-of-way through the length of the southerly boundary of the Columbia Basin property, and that would also be the northerly boundary of the annexation parcel that's coming in. That dedication is based on some great cooperation from Columbia Basin and their commitment to move their project forward, and also to help the Hamptons move the future commercial development of their property. And I think it's a positive result, and it's not in writing yet, but I can, Mr. Brandenburg and I have had discussions that I believe that I can state that that has been an agreement has been reached in principle that will be put in writing and satisfy the concerns of that second access to the Hampton property. And I believe that it satisfies the full concern. In other words, the scrutiny issue, the street issue and dedication shouldn't prohibit, won't be something that's prohibitive against development of the Farm Unit 100 portion in the future and the annexation of that into the city in the future. As long as Columbia gets the right of way there and is available and is dedicated, that should allow that second access on through that Farm Unit 100. That would alleviate staff's concern. I believe it does. Don't want to speak for Travis. Perhaps he can comment on that if there's any questions. Beyond that, I would take any questions that council has about the property that I might be able to answer.
Council, any questions for Steve?
So you say you have a commitment worked out with CBHA, and that you're not going to guarantee, but you're assuring us that very shortly in the future there's going to be a resolution to the Columbia Street
Yeah, I will, yeah, and it's one of these moments that, you know, if it was a week from now, you know, I could probably confirm that it's a formal agreement, but I've been doing this a long time, and we've reached a point with them that I believe that the Hamptons are in favor of the agreement, CBHA is in favor of the agreement, so there's, unless something came in from left field that would derail that, I don't see there's any reason why we won't reach and get an agreement signed on that.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate
Okay, thank you.
The work you put together to do that and bring that agreement to the table, because I think in the long-term interest of the city, the Hampton family, and CBHA altogether, and the future development, that's a good deal.
I agree with you. Thank you,
yes,
Mayor.
Thank you. Is there any others present in tonight's meeting who would like to speak in support of this annexation? Is there anyone neutral to the proposal who would like to speak? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay, is there anyone opposed to this annexation? Would you please raise your hand and I'll recognize you for this public hearing. Okay, is there hearing none? Is there any staff response to Steve's comment?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you, Travis. This time then, I will close the public testimony at 7:22 p.m. and ask the council, is there any additional information you'd like from either the staff or the Hampton family to be clarified regarding this annexation tonight?
The staff is recommending approval of the petition for annexation under the condition that there's a dedication subject to an agreement that provides a solution to the Columbia Street so far we haven't got to that point yet. I'd like to get to that point, that if there's an agreement between the two parties to develop Columbia Street, we approve the annexation. We vote on it and approve it, if that's what we desire.
Maybe we should get some clarification from Travis.
Yeah, sorry, I should have covered that. Technically, there is no obligation for them to do the dedication. You can decide independently whether or not you think the annexation is in the interest of the public. The fact that they are having that conversation, we might just be a week or two ahead of the curve to actually have that agreement in hand. It may or may not scare you. You can approach it a couple ways. You could approve the annexation and put a time, maybe insert some time, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks before it becomes, I'm sorry, what's the term I'm looking for? From when the ordinance is signed and when it becomes
effective,
the effective date. So that would give them the opportunity. You could also just ignore the transportation issue because it sounds like it's being worked on. Ultimately, until this property is developed, there is no real concern that they will lose the opportunity to dedicate that right-of-way or dedicate an easement to the neighboring property.
So that's for the southern property, but for the northern property where we're already talking about a problem with them egressing from 14th Avenue, which could be resolved by having an agreement in a Columbia Street built.
Yes.
It could resolve that issue.
We could. And so we could solve it a couple ways. On the other hand, we could look at it from the point of view that since they own technically both of those lots, they are only creating themselves problems or the potential saleability or the development of their own property. So if they want to you know, prevent themselves from developing more than 20 units on that lot, then that's a business decision. So my preference would that we have something, as I mentioned in the staff report, that we have something solved before then. Maybe we could make it condition upon, as I mentioned in the staff report, some kind of circulation plan, in which case they would indicate a firm commitment, maybe through an annexation agreement, that they will provide some sort of east-west connection for at least an 80-foot easement or right-of-way, something that meets our city standards. We could do that after the annexation, or would you rather continue this to another hearing so that we can settle that question? Maybe they would, maybe the app or the petitioner would be interested in committing to either an 80-foot right-of-way dedication or an 80-foot easement to themselves, which, once they put that on the record, we can amend the ordinance to reflect that commitment prior to signature. So that's a question you might have to ask the applicant's representative, because they're still technically dedicating it or giving the easement to themselves.
Steve, do you have any comments?
Steve Burnham, on behalf of the petitioners. I think that we have made a written commitment to the southern half of this right-of-way as part of our annexation petition. I think that's clearly in the papers you guys have reviewed and our petition. I'm making a verbal commitment that the northerly half of that will also be dedicated, subject to putting a written agreement together with CBHA that has been agreed to, and it's not that complicated. And I'm not trying to minimize the importance of it, because it's a key part of this annexation. That deal, if for some reason it wasn't accomplished at the time this annexation became final, and it still has some stages to go through. So, but if it wasn't final, and that just the south 40 feet of that right-of-way is all that's under commitment to the city, there's nothing we could do with the north 40 feet but ultimately dedicate it. So I don't think there's any risk for the city to move ahead with this annexation, even with the lack of a formal agreement reached on that north 40 feet, because that's that has to be done, and and CBHA and the Hamptons have reached an agreement to get it done, and that's the best I can give you tonight. But I don't think that it's a matter that is going to make this annexation a success or not. So because I think it will happen one way or the other. Either it'll happen by this agreement or some other agreement that when this moves forward to development.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask our legal counsel, Kelly, do you concur?
In what regard? I mean, I don't see anything that creates concerns
with the annexation tonight.
I do agree with the city certainly has authority to do the annexation tonight. That's not an issue at all. The only issue that, as I understand counsel, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the issue is, do we want to annex? Go ahead and approve the annexation now when the agreement hasn't been completely inked, or do we want to wait until it's been inked? I think that the drivers for the right-of-way acquisition here are economical on both sides, for both the north and south property owners. I think that's what's driving this, rather than the annexation. So I think it's just something council to consider. I think it's probably going to happen no matter what. But if the council does not want this property to be annexed unless that agreement's there, then the council could easily just kick the can down the road, give it a couple more weeks to develop, and do that if the council believes that is essential for the council before they approve the annexation. But given the economic realities are in play, if the council is comfortable approving the annexation and let the right-of-way dedication issue play out, that's certainly another legally viable option for the council. It really comes down to how, as a council body, how essential having that work out before you approve the annexation is. But I think that the city is, under what's been presented, is going to be okay either way.
Okay,
Okay, so John brought up that concern. John, now that you know the different options, do you have a comment?
Well, I'm concerned with what CBHA's plan for their development when there's no egress to their property from the north, because there's no developed road from the north on Scootney, and there's no developed roadway to the south on Columbia Street. So right now, they're talking about putting in egress to their property from 14th Avenue. Are they going to continue with that and create more traffic on 14th Avenue coming in and out of that location, you know, at this point, to get their ball rolling to do their development until the issues are resolved with the other annexations of the other right-of-ways? You know, you're telling me there's, you know, there's agreements, there's verbal agreements, and there's, you know, we're going to get this done. We just don't have the pen to it yet. But right now the plan is for CBHA to go from 14th Avenue.
Right. And like I said, from a legal perspective, either way, you're fine from a legal perspective. And I understand what your concern is. And now I think if the city, whether or not CBHA is motivated to ink the agreement, doesn't hinge on whether the city annexes the property. It has both of those. All those concerns are there for CBHA regardless. So I don't see, unless there's a piece of information that I don't have, I don't see as the annexation being something that the CBHA is waiting on in this matter. But I want to stress, I mean, it's the city council can certainly move forward or delay the annexation if the council believes that is important for the council's decision on whether to approve this annexation. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want you guys to be sure that you understand, or that you know that is an option available to you. However, you could approve it tonight as well. It's like I said, I Mr. Lawless, I understand what you're saying, and that would be a perfectly legitimate way to proceed tonight.
Travis, I got a question for you. Would all the concerns about accesses to 14th Avenue, Scootney, be taken care of or resolved in the platting process of the two properties?
The CBHA has made a verbal commitment that their desire is to access North and South, not 14th. Because those right-of-ways do not exist, they are proposing 14th. But no, to answer that question directly, sorry, the answer to that is no. Currently, our 14th Avenue plan includes a straight curb gutter and sidewalk on that side. There are no driveway cuts. So our plan is to never have them, is what we're hoping to get to.
But my other question is, Columbia Street would be in the platting process?
Oh,
when they plat that southern property that is in question to be annexed tonight, that would be...
They could do that. The problem is, without the dedication by deed at this point, CBHA again would have no guarantee that right-of-way would be there, so they couldn't access it. So because of the moving timing part, CBHA is ready to go. That doesn't get deeded over if we wait for the platting to occur. It will be after CBHA is already in the pipeline and their proposed plan would not include access to Columbia.
Okay. So can we make a motion to annex the property with the condition that we get assigned, have the paperwork been between the two parties?
Okay. You could require an annexation agreement. That's essentially what you'd be doing. The city did that, I believe, with the CBHA annexation, if I remember correctly. But you can have annexation agreements. And if that's the direction the council wants to go, then we can certainly do that.
Steve?
Yes.
On behalf of the petitioner, our petition came in with the commitment to dedicate the southerly portion of that Columbia Street right-of-way. We've also not only agreed but dedicated the western portion of this as requested by the city for the 14th Street improvements, which some of the, a number of the other developments and including, I think, even the school district have refused or have not completed or done yet. I'm telling you that because I wouldn't be here making representations to you about what we're going to do if I didn't wasn't confident that's going to happen. I would really, really prefer that the council move forward and approve this petition for annexation tonight as it's presented, and rely on Greg Vandenberg and Columbia Basin and the Hamptons to get the northerly half of this done. We've already committed to the southerly half. This isn't an issue of where there's been no commitment to this right-of-way. The right-of-way technically is, each half is 1.17 acres. The total right-of-way is 2.25 acres. And although that's not a huge amount of land, that's still real money and real value, and the Hamptons have already made a commitment for half of that and are representing to you that they believe they have resolved the issues and are going to commit the full 80. So we're making this, you know, by leaving it up in the air, I think you're potentially creating more issues than by making resolution and moving forward and letting us get this done. But again, I totally respect whatever decision you make, and we'll manage it either way. But I, on behalf of the petitioner, I'm requesting that you move through and approve the annexation that's presented tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Travis?
Thank you. I also have to point out that the agenda memo and the presentation was done at the end of last week, before they had even announced to me that they seemed to have come to an agreement. If I had known that last week before I prepared the staff report, I may not have recommended that caveat on my recommendation. So if you're feeling comfortable, I'm much more comfortable having had their public declaration of being close to a solution. So.
Okay, I have one other, and that is with regard to the C1 zoning. I'm still unclear as to what your recommendation is that we accept the proposed annexation with and go ahead and apply the C1 zoning under that condition, or is it your recommendation that we take up the zoning of the property at a different time?
No, by the RCWs, it says you can entertain a zone change or a proposed zoning as part of the annexation, but there has to be two hearings. So the second one is technically set aside for the zoning. And so, like, for example, the CBHA, you annexed it and gave it the C1 in the interim until they have a second hearing to discuss the actual proposal. And Kelly was right, there was a annexation agreement on that property, and it was all contingent upon them developing as a medical facility. If they did not, it would revert to R4. And in that case, with a C1 here, we would have a transition zone of R4 between it and the residential to the north and the northeast. So I'm comfortable with the C1 at this location.
Thank you, Travis. Kurt Anders, do you have any comment whatsoever?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm Kurt Andrews, the facility manager for CBHA. If you need the assurance that CBHA has agreed with Hamptons for Columbia Street, I can give you that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. Council, at this time, I'd entertain a motion. Is there any other information or confirmation that you need? Okay, so you have before you tonight an opportunity to either approve this annexation, approve it with conditions, deny the annexation, or to continue this hearing into a further date. So as the chair, I would like to entertain a motion right now.
I'll make that motion.
To approve the annexation.
A second.
Okay. Yep. Any further discussion? All right. We have a motion made to approve this annexation as applied for. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, staff, and Steve, and the Hampton family, and Kurt Andrews for the information. That also covered item 4.2, the ordinance to annex. And that ordinance will be signed by the mayor as soon as it's prepared. Moving on to item 4.3, public hearing on changing the name of East Cunningham to East Main Street. So notice is hereby given the City Council for the City of Othello will hold a public hearing to consider a name change for the annex portion of Cunningham Road. As you recall, that's passed from 14th Avenue out to Highway 17. It would be extended east to 16th Avenue to the intersection of State Route 17. So that's what we have before us tonight. And at this time, I'd like to open the public hearing on the name change of the street from Cunningham Road to East Main Street at 7:41 p.m. And Travis has a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Travis Goddard. For the record, I am the Community Development Director for the City of Othello. I haven't actually prepared a presentation for this one. We went through the effort in February 24th, to be exact, to do the annexation for the right-of-way on Cunningham that was in the county. That was completed, and it was dedicated or deeded to us on March 16th, 2015. Last month I came to you, and it was the hearing of June 22nd to let you know that we were going to do the name change on this property. We did public notice, and we have not received any comments. I did some research and found out that we are already assigning Main Street addresses to the properties that front between here and there. And there was actually only two parcels, but they already have Main Street addresses, as do the ones on the other side there within the city. So even though the sign at the corner of the highway says Cunningham, they already have Main Street addresses. So the post office is well aware that this is Main Street. So unless you have any questions for me, there were no comments. I recommend approval.
I just have one comment on that. Now that that is a city street, that brings up the issue of the speed limits on that. I believe when it's a city street, all streets are 25, and unless otherwise
posted.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we currently have three different speed limits on that. As soon as you turn on, we have 40. Then we have about it starts from the old city limits or the old Bible property, the house there.
It's 50 from the highway into the house.
And I think we need to address that or bring it down to as soon as you turn in.
Yes, we are aware of that. We have some speed traffic counting equipment here at the city. We put it out on Main Street in front of City Hall and did a quick speed study. We haven't passed it through our engineer yet, but what it showed is about 60% of the cars on Main Street in front of City Hall were going faster than 25. But 30 seemed to be the magic number, and only about 19% go over 20 or over 30. Over 35 is only 3%. So the study information that I saw recommended that we change it to a 30 mile per hour speed limit. And so we will set it up farther closer to the Walmart area and work our way down towards Highway 17 and try and do a little systematic analysis of how the traffic is behaving, and then we'll work with our engineer to make recommendations on what the speed limits should be posted.
Okay, thank you. Council, do you have any other statements or questions of staff about the name change? Okay, at this time then I'd like to open public testimony for those in support of the name change. Hearing none, is there anyone who's neutral to the proposal that would like to address the council?
Is there anyone in opposition of the council renaming Cunningham Road to Main Street? Please raise your hand. Okay, hearing none, I'd like to close the public hearing at 7:45 p.m. And council, do you have any additional information you need in order to make a decision? Okay, this time I'd entertain a motion to rename Cunningham Road to East Main Street according to the public hearing.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. That also covers item 4.4 on our agenda. Now we're going to move to item 4.5, skateboard construction bid review. And Molly, you have a staff report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. On our construction for the Dandiver Memorial Skate Park, the bids were open and advertised on Thursday, June 25th. And bids were due on July 15th at 2 p.m. here at the City Hall Council Chambers. The city received one bid from the Ellensburg-based construction firm Belsas and Smith. Our engineer's estimate from our design firm, Spawn Ranch Skate Parks, was $210,000 for construction. The bid we received from Belsas and Smith totaled $336,024. Given the staff and the Council Parks and Rec Committee met last Thursday to go over the possibilities, whether or not the city would like to wait on continuing with the construction, or if we would like to find other areas where that money could be taken from in the budget. And it was the Parks and Rec Committee's in agreement that we recommend that the City Council reject the bid received by Belsas and Smith, and that will allow staff and the Parks and Rec Committee to move forward in measures to award the construction of the skate park in early next year, with the hope that that will bring our construction prices down.
Okay.
So with that,
thank you, Molly.
I'm happy to answer any questions council may have.
Do you guys have any questions for Molly? No? All right. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
This time I'd entertain a motion according to the recommendation from the committee and Molly to reject the bid received by Belsas and Smith and instruct staff to take measures to pursue the project in 2016.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Item 4.6 is amendment number 6 to the Varela and Associates Inc. agreement. And we have an amendment change to the contract with Varela over the City of Othello Farmers Market. And that's Molly. Okay.
Sorry. There is a typo. It should be me presenting this. So,
okay.
But we do have Kurt Holland from Varela and Associates. If the council has any questions regarding the farmers market and the proposed amendment to the city contract. But on the 14th of July of 2014, the council may remember that Wade proposed using some of the previous budget money set aside for a civic or community center to go towards the construction of a future City of Othello farmers market. With that, the Varela and Associates and Kurt Holland have been working to bring the project to life. I've been working through some of the details, some of the preliminary farmers market designs received from staff. And in order to continue working on the project, staff recommends that the council approve the attached amendment number 2015-006 to the owner engineer agreement between Varela and Associates for $27,933. And this will allow them to continue the design of this facility, the project plans, specifications, bid documents, and bidding services. This item was also reviewed with the Parks and Rec Committee, and they were in agreement to propose this for approval to the full council.
Thank you, Molly. And so it's your recommendation that we approve this amendment number six?
I recommend you approve amendment number six to the Borrella and Associates Agreement.
Thank you, counsel. Any questions for Molly? For Borrella? Okay, hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve amendment number 2015-006 to the Borrella and Associates Inc. contract for the City of Othello Farmers Market.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Item number, 4.7 on our agenda was with regard to addendum number 8 to the Adams County Development Council Agreement, and I believe Wade is going to explain that formula. And Wade, go ahead.
Okay. Mayor and Council, as you all are well aware, we've had an agreement and a relationship with ACDC for a number of years, and through that, they've helped us develop industrial resources, commercial resources, agricultural resources. As you all know, they've stepped up the pace a little bit in the last year, and so we're really getting our money's worth. And so what we need to do, though, every year is approve an addendum to the original contract that says we're going to continue that relationship. The formula that we pay is 50 cents per capita, and that's pretty much what all the communities pay. And so for this year, based on what our population figure is showing, the latest census, it's 50 cents per capita times 76.95 for the figure you see there, 48.47.50. So what staff has recommended is that the council approve addendum number 8 to continue our relationship with ACDC. Questions?
And this is already budgeted in our budget?
It is.
Council?
So Wade, what have we got so far from them since the last time they presented?
Good question. Ken can probably expand more than I can. He's been very involved in it for quite a while. But within the last year, as you all may remember, we contracted with the Stanley Corporation, Ken.
Boyd Company,
to do a study and then put the results of that study in several industrial magazines and stuff, and that's starting to bear a little bit of fruit, a lot of interest has been generated. So that's a recent thing that they've done. Ken, any other good examples you can take?
Well, and on the Boyd study, the first one that we asked them to do was on warehousing and dry warehousing, of course, for Adams County. And Ritzville, after he did the studies, Ritzville come out number 2 for one of the best locations in the U.S. to place dry warehouse and storage. The latest one that just came out within the last month was we asked him to do the study on food and beverage, and actually Othello come out number 1 in the spot, and all the categories that they had, Othello was at the top of the list, except for, I believe it was power.
Power, yeah.
But we were right there. Yeah. We were still very competitive. And most affordable to spot a facility for food processing or a beverage processing. And that was done with a survey of 25 other cities across the nation.
The other thing, one could argue that in years previous they weren't as proactive, but now you can't make that argument based on the two employees that they have now, Stephen McFadden and Joey. Both are very, very active, and the council has done a lot of stuff and been very proactive. The last bank, I guess, is very successful, and they're highlighting what they've done or doing is highlighting Othello and Adams County, of course, in different industrial segments in the country. That takes a while to bear fruit, but we should bear fruit soon, which will benefit everybody.
And we've just hired another firm at our last meeting, and we're meeting with them here in a couple of weeks to write our comprehensive plan. Now what we're going to do with these studies and how we're going to put them to work and to sell the county and the city.
I'd like to see some of that when it comes to the year.
Yep, in fact, Steve should be making a presentation to the city here very soon.
Yeah. He made a presentation about the Boyd Company, he made another presentation before that on something else, I can't remember. So he's pretty diligent about making presentations to councils across Adams County.
I think more than anything, they're finding out information, you know, they're gathering information, finding things out that, and they're bringing them.
They're working this area.
They're bringing them to light, you know?
Yeah.
What the needs are of this community, in this county, you know, I mean, the statistics that I've been hearing at these meetings and that are, you know, through the planning commission and through the ACDC, you know, there's 19,000 people in the county. And more than 75% of them live in the panhandle within, you know, 10 miles of Othello. So that doesn't leave a whole heck of a lot outside in the other part of the counties. So, you know, it's amazing every time I hear something that's just bringing things to light that are really good. And this is, you know, not a lot of money, but it's good to be part of it.
Yeah, you know, and it like John says, it's bringing things up to light, and it's also brought up to light with our current manufacturers here, and I guess they're creating a coalition to kind of work together on their current needs and everything, too.
We're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
That and entertain emotions. Any further questions? I'm sorry. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to adopt addendum number 8 with the Adams County Development Council agreement.
Make that a motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Wade. Move to item 4.8, food bank presentation. And this was a presentation the council had looked at, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. And we have this back with the food bank and Spencer. And now I think we've done the staff has done more development of the idea and worked with Sharon Mobley of the food bank. She's here with us tonight. And Spencer has a presentation.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mayor. Sharon Mobley of the Othello Food Bank has recently approached the city to engage in a hunger relief program. She's requested that we as a city collect donations through our utility billing program, and then we can, on a monthly or a quarterly basis, remit those donations to the food bank to help in their efforts within the city. And Sharon's here, if you want to come up. Sharon had a couple pieces of information that show what the food bank does for the community. As she's coming up, there's a state law in 2011 that was passed that allows code cities, PUDs, electric companies, gas companies to collect donations to benefit hunger programs, is what they're called. And so for the last couple of years, these types of programs, these types of partnerships have been coming out of the woodwork and have been starting up to benefit the members of the community. And Sharon's here to share what the food bank does for Ella.
Thank you.
Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I'm Sharon Mobley, Facility Manager for the Othello Food Bank. The address is 949 East Main. Just a couple things I think will help you to understand why we are trying to find other avenues, increase for revenue for our food bank. We just recently set our budget for the 2015-2016 year, which is just $34,600 is about what it costs us to run the food bank for a year. And out of that, we expect, you know, sometimes government funds change, but our expectations from that for the coming year is $10,000, which leaves us $24,600 that we have to come up with through grants, donations, things like that, which, you know, is kind of a lot of money. And we just finished our fiscal year, and I'll let you know that we served 23,546 individuals for the year. Now, I want you to understand that means that they can come up to once a week and get food, but that's the number of individuals that we served, which is quite a lot of people, you know, when you think about the size of Othello. And just so you understand, when numbers that we serve live in the 99344 zip code, so while they might not actually live in Othello, they could live out, but they still come to us because that's how our food bank operates. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. And that's regard to the number, Sharon.
Did, yes.
Is it common for a community to serve over three times its population? Is because there's people, repeat customers coming back, like maybe they did receive food for the family of five in July, mm-hmm. and then later they hit a rough patch and they come back in, say, October or something. And so is that what it would account for that? And is that common in other communities?
Yes. Actually, the majority of communities, you'll see them come at least once a month. In our community's case, it's not unusual for them to come at least twice a month. You know, they're just hard hit. A lot of our clients rely on agriculture, you know, base. And you know, if the weather's bad or it's that time of year, you have large families. You just see that, and we have, you know, a fair number of seniors. We probably have about, I'm going to say about 2,300 of our clients are seniors, you know, and they struggle to make ends meet. So, you know, we have a couple programs that we do with seniors, and we have currently one right now that addresses childhood hunger. With school being out, you have a large number of kids who don't have those extra meals. So they come to the food bank. So in the summer, during July and August, we have a program called Kids Summer Food Club. It runs through, it will end, usually when school starts, unless we have a food bank. As of last week, we served slightly over 600 kids. Now, they can come once, and that program allows them to come once a week. They get a 27-pound bag per, depending on how many kids are in the family, they may get from one to three. But we're seeing it. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Questions for Spencer now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, last time this was brought to us, this was just a brand new program.
Yeah.
In effect, less than a year. I think there was one other city that was doing it at the time.
Yes.
And I think our biggest question was the state auditor test.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about that? How is it doing with the state auditor's test? And
I don't know how it's doing with the state auditor test, but if it's something that we can back up with the state law, giving us authority to run this kind of program, then that's...
Do you know if it's been working in? I know the one community. I don't know if there's been other communities that have did it since. So.
Yeah, there were two that Sharon and the mayor and I were talking about, and it's working well for both of those communities. I contacted both of those, and they like the program.
So one of the, go ahead.
I was going to ask, the donations that'll come in, that'll go into a dedicated line item?
Yeah, so once we know that this is something that we want to move forward with, then it's just what are the logistics of actually collecting the money and how do we store it and pass it on. There are a couple of different ways that we can collect it or participate. One is just include a flyer in our utility bill saying, here's the food bank, please make a donation to them. That's not really what we're talking about here tonight. Tonight we're talking about actually collecting $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever somebody wants to put on their utility bill. There are two ways that we can do this. One is one is to redesign our utility bills to have a blank line there. In the month of January, my utility bill is X dollars. I want to add another $10 for the food bank. And then we collect that. We receive the utility portion of the bill into the individual's, the customer's utility account. Then we do a second receipt that receipts that donation into the donation line. It's a 600 level fund. It's a fiduciary fund where we hold money on behalf of another organization. So it's not our money. It's not counted in our money. That option would take some reprogramming with our software company. It'd be kind of difficult. It'd be possibly
It'd mean that our receivers up front are going to have duplicated work and create more work for them. So I'm shying away from that idea. Another thing that we can do is have people sign up for a set $5 a month added to their utility bill that we would then collect in this other line item. That's something that wouldn't affect, it'd be the minimal effect on the city. We wouldn't incur other programming costs to change our utility billing software. So that's what I would recommend that we do. In talking with the food bank, I know they wanted to go the option of having a monthly donation be on a monthly basis. So if somebody wants to make a donation in February, they're not locked into a donation in March, April, May, or it'd be easier to make the decision, a month by month decision. There would be added difficulty to that. There's a local utility, I don't know if it's Big Bend or Avista, that collects donations much in the same way, and they collect their donations on a set $5 a month, $10 a month. I don't know for sure, but I would guess it's probably the same type of difficulty that they would run into. Then once we collect the money, we would remit it to the food bank on a monthly or quarterly, whatever makes sense.
Okay, yeah. And for those people who are paying online and have that set up as an automatic, is that going to be an option that's going to be available or be able to work be worked out with our software?
Yes. And that would work with the automatic $5 or the automatic monthly payment route. We can change our utility bills in our system to add an extra $5 to an account, to an extra line, a hunger program line. And that would just be included in the whole bill that goes out. So the bill, instead of being $100 on a given month, it'd be $105. And regardless, if they pay in person, if they pay online, express bill pay.
And that would be an easy discontinuation for the customers also.
Yes. And then if they want to cancel it, they can call in and we can cancel it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. House Bill 1211, it addresses it only towards programs to deal with hunger. So yes. We can't have any other groups come up saying that, hey, you're doing it for this group.
Correct. This is specific for hunger programs.
Okay. And did the House Bill also address use of city staff time, because it's always got a value on it too, and we're gifting it to the organization?
Right.
If it addresses that, or maybe Kelly can.
The House Bill doesn't specifically address that, if Kelly wanted to chime in. But if the House Bill is allowing us to collect this money for these types of programs, I would think that it automatically allows us to spend the minimal time to run that program.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the House Bill 1211, but my you know, without looking at it, my gut reaction is that yes, it would be an okay expenditure of funds for the city to, or resources rather, for the city to do that. But it's impossible for me to say for certain if House Bill 1211 address that without having reviewed it, which I haven't. So I could certainly look into that and get back to council, though.
It doesn't say that specifically.
Right, but other cities are doing it, and they've been doing it for 2 years, so I'm going to assume that they can.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Like I said, that's why I asked about the state auditor's test.
Okay, so let me summarize. So basically tonight, before the council is authorize city staff to collect donations for the food bank, and then I'm assuming is in that authorization, the finance department is going to figure out the most expeditious way to handle that, to minimize the staff time, and we would then implement the program, and the food bank would receive the donation money that came in to help supplement their $34,000 a year operation, and that's sort of what's before us tonight. Is that correct?
Yes, and we'll have a flyer that goes out with the utility bill that introduces the program, briefly says this is how it's going to happen. If you would like to make a donation, donation amount, and we'd need a customer to sign it, which is our authorization to add X dollars to their utility bill. And I'll be working with the food bank to get that worded just right.
Would it be easier or as profitable? I know the other way to say it, like a roundup. I know a lot of people who are raising money, they actually do better, they have found, by just rounding up your bill and collecting that way. You have a lot more participants than a set, will you give us $10, will you give us $20, whatever. That's just a thought I'm throwing out there. I don't know, you know, paperwork-wise or whatever, you know, how much that would incur or hurt either.
You know, that would be a software question. I would need to ask them how easily they can do that in our program. We'd still need to get authorization to do that from each utility customer.
Oh, right.
Individual,
right.
Yeah. But we can certainly look at that.
I wouldn't limit myself to a monthly donation. I would also take a one-time donation, you know, just simply because they may be a customer 1 week and or 1 month, and then the next month they're not.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Obviously, if we approve this tonight, how long do you think it's going to take you to get it implemented?
Well, we have, what's today, the 27th. We won't be able to have it for the bills that go out on the 1st. That's in 3 days. But on the next month, we would.
Okay.
Okay.
Council, any further questions? Satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This time I'd entertain a motion to authorize city staff to collect donations for the food bank.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Unanimous.
Thank you.
Yep. So is it, Sir Sharon, did I miss, maybe I didn't hear you right. We've always called you Mobley. Is it Mobley?
It's actually Mobley.
Okay, we stand corrected. Okay. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for all the work you do for the food bank, too. We'll move on to item five. Unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business tonight to come before the city council?
A question for Wayne. Water restrictions. Are we removing them?
I was going to address that. Thank you for asking. we're going to remove the water restrictions effective Friday. And just for council's information, we're going to already talk to Tyler. It's going to go in the newspaper for Thursday. We're also going to put in the water bills that are going out. We'll also post on Facebook as well. So we're trying to get as much blanket coverage as possible. So, yes. Well, Six is doing fabulous. Still knock on wood. And everything else seems to be doing fine as well. So we're getting final stages, completing some permanent temporary operations for Well 9. Slash report. What's that?
Permanent temporary?
Yeah.
Are you going to hardwire it to a transformer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks good, and so we'll remove all restrictions effective Friday.
Okay. Thank you. Any other unfinished business? Moving on to item six, new business. I have some new business. The Planning Commission has had two recent resignations, the first one by Mike Bailey, and he's selling his house and they're moving. And the second one has come from Pat Simmons because of his involvement in the Adams County Development Council and the responsibilities there. And so I'm pleased tonight to, I would like to appoint, subject to council approval, Larry McCourty to replace Mike Bailey for the period of time between now and the end of the year, and at the first of the year he would become a city council member, as he's running unopposed in the upcoming election. Larry is a senior planning commission member. He's been on that board for quite a number of years,
Given the fact that we are in the middle of our updating our comprehensive plan, I believe his experience and his knowledge of the issues that we're dealing with will be completely invaluable, probably one of the best people in the city of Othello to step forward and fill in the, and help us finish and complete that comprehensive plan. So with that, I would like to appoint Larry McCourty, raise your hand, Larry, thank you, to the Planning Commission. And is there any discussion? Need a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Something we have to vote on? Or don't you?
Confirmation by the council.
Okay.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor to appoint Larry McCourty to the Planning Commission, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And the second member of this dynamic duo is a young gentleman by the name of Colton Anderson. Colton, are you with us tonight? Is he here? He's not present. Okay. Colton is, if Larry is the senior member, Colton is the young gun in the process. And so he brings with him some education, some enthusiasm, and some ideas. And Colton would replace Pat Simmons' position on the Planning Commission. Again, this is critical to the completion of the comprehensive plan to have a full board. And we have already two realtors. This would also keep the Planning Commission balanced in its approach, and with the young member, Colton could learn a number of operations of, you know, being on a commission and probably benefit this community with his knowledge as he continues to grow and raise a family and in Othello. So with that, I would like to recommend Colton Anderson to replace Pat Simmons on the Planning Commission, and I'd entertain a motion to do so.
Make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, council. Is there any other new business? Yes, Wade.
Yeah, Mayor, sorry I didn't bring this up to you earlier, but Kurt and I were talking before the meeting, and he had sent earlier today an update on everything that Varela's doing, and I thought it would be good. We talked about doing this perhaps once a month anyway, and for now it will appear on the agenda. But after I read today and saw what how much valuable information was on there, I thought the council would be interested to know everything that's going on. We've covered a few things already, like the farmer's market, a couple of things, but there's other things that the city's working on that would help you guys know what's going on. So if you don't mind, if Kurt could take 5 minutes, I think, and just give you guys a quick update, Mayor, if that's okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I wrote it on the way here. Mayor, council. Yeah, so this is just going to be a quick rundown. Well 9, the equipment procurement package got final comments in from the city and was forwarded to the contractors for quotes today. The pump house has got a 75% design, and it'll be submitted July 30th for city review and comments. Meeting is scheduled for August 5th to review those comments. We're working on TIB applications for the following. First Avenue Grind and Overlay, that's the south first from State Route 26 to Elm. It may be shortened depending on the funding and how it fits in with the TIB package. We're also looking at Lee Road reconstruction, that would be from 1st to 14th. Currently, the cost projections look like they'll be outside the limits of TIB. We're going to go ahead and pursue those and look at scopes of work for addressing it later. There's also an ADA element in the TIB funding, so we're looking at some of those and prioritizing some of the ones that have been identified in the town. First Avenue Grind and Overlay, we received drawings and review comments today from GNO. We have not seen the specifications. There will be a CM agreement come in as soon as the specifications come in. 14th Avenue, that's been delayed. Traffic planning, we've been working with Travis quite a bit on giving presentations to the city it looks like a traffic planning scope may end up coming out of the comprehensive planning efforts. Skate park we talked about, farmer's market, city mapping. One of the things that keeps coming up when we start looking at the water system, wastewater system, storm, irrigation, the road rating, the ADA ramps, a lot of the zoning and planning efforts that Travis is doing is there is no updated maps for the city in any of those. And it's actually starting to become a little cumbersome trying to deal with development and really get a handle on where the city's infrastructures are. Looking at the overlays of when you look at a street, you know, how's the water look? How's the sewer look? How's the irrigation look? And you're relying a lot on city staff, which is good. But oftentimes, you know, in those meetings, they don't recollect exactly what goes on out in the field. And there's really becoming a greater need to get some of this mapping, comprehensive mapping done. We have gotten all the GNO drawings. We've put together comprehensive maps of what we have. Most of them are dated about 10 years. Some of them go back 15 years. So there'll be a scope of work, and I'll get to that here in another second. Road rating, that was one of the ones that we were looking at for the TIB apps. A lot of these, you need documented proof on what the condition of your roads are, and that's for funding efforts. The last comprehensive road rating that was done in Othello was in 2000. We grabbed that data. It was a PDF. We imported all that, had an entry-level engineer do the data crunching. There still remains we estimated almost 600 segments of roads. So when they do a road rating, they go to each block and they rate each block, and that's what you look at when you do your TIB funding. The 2000 segmented road rating had about 480, so there's been another 120 segmented roads added since then, and it's all dated 15 years. So we'd like to get on top of that and do a proposal to get that road rating done. We have a road rating crew that goes out, does county roads every 2 years, and they just finished Grant County last week. So we'll be forwarding something on there. Recently reviewed the CBHA, had some review comments. We discussed those a little bit earlier. Did an as-built review on a previous construction project. We're looking over the proposed motel traffic analysis and plat. Water source study. Varela and Aspect met with Terry Clemens and Dan Quick to learn the details and histories of the existing wells. They're currently going through analyzing the available data, so we sat down there and copied information down there, went over it with Dan. Looking at existing well deficiencies, determinations whether existing wells can be rehabbed or modified to lengthen their useful life. And that's going to dovetail right into on June 30th, 2015, the state legislator approved $16 million for drought relief. We've gone through the criteria on that, and it doesn't quite come as first come, first serve, but the general language in the grant application is that it's a 100% grant for communities under $25,000. And the number of
25,000 people?
Oh, I'm sorry, 25,000 people, yeah.
Yes.
The number one criteria is modifying an existing water source or deepening an existing groundwater well. There's several wells in the current well field that the city has that meets those minimal threshold qualifications. So I'm just letting council know, because we're making preliminary reviews of that, we're going to expedite a grant application on behalf of the city using Aspect to look in probably particularly well 8. Another element of applications is going to be the CDBG plan only grants. There's a number of possibilities that the city's probably going to have to prioritize and figure out how the best spend that money. That would be traffic planning, comprehensive planning, system mapping, ADA conformance evaluations, wastewater facility planning. So start to prioritize some of this stuff and pursue the planning and get those boxes checked. Also, the IACC conference is coming up, and we need to start strategizing for the tech teams. Possible issues include water source improvements, so to get the funders here for this with other funders and start looking at the more holistic approach to the long-term water source for the city of Othello. Wastewater system collection system. The SRF funding appears like it may have fallen through for extending it out south. That is something that we could also resurrect in one of those tech team meetings and look at a reapplication or other funding opportunities. Also, wastewater planning. So I have 20 things there that I just ran through. If you have any questions, that's kind of the roundup of things that we are working on and trying to keep tabs on. Yes, sir.
Well, Lyne, you said you were sending information out. Are you getting competitive bids then on the Well 9 project for the construction?
What he said was the Well 9 equipment procurement specifications were written, and they're ready to go out
for quotes.
For
yes.
quotes.
Yeah.
That's for the equipment.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. And that is going to be a small works roster under the declaration of emergency. There's a particular equipment people that the city would prefer using to supply that equipment to match everything else you have in town.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay. Yeah, thanks,
Kurt.
So, as you guys can see, Burrell and Company has been doing a lot of proactive stuff. You sort of pointed them a couple places and they have taken off, so we're staying very busy. A lot of stuff going on. It may cost the city some money in the short run. The long run will not only save money, but maybe make some money, so to speak, in some of these. So we'll try and do an update on a regular basis, either monthly or quarterly, whatever applies, if council would like that. So,
yep, I think it's useful and helpful. Okay. Thank you, Kurt. Okay. All right. At this time, I would like to enter into item 7.1, potential litigation. To meet with our city attorney with regard to potential litigation against the city of Othello. I'd like the staff to remain, but also to prepare the council chambers for executive session. And we will enter into session. Kelly, how long do you anticipate?
Oh, depending on questions, I believe 10 minutes should be sufficient.
10 minutes, okay.
Oh, well, maybe 15 to...
Sure. Okay, we'll be 15 minutes, and at this time at 8:28 p.m., we'll enter into executive session.
Looks like Phil's a little stiff.
Okay, so at 8:41 p.m., I'd like to call this session back into order, and the council will also receive under item 8.1, our agenda, department heads' June reports. And having no further business to come before the city council, I'd like to adjourn the meeting at 8:41 p.m.